Welcome to the podcast of the GMCN Journal. My name is Ana Carolina de Campos, and on behalf of my co-authors, I will present the manuscript titled Brain Activation Patterns Underlying Upper Limb Bilateral Motor Coordination in Unilateral Cerebral Palsy, an FNIRS study. This study was funded by the Intramural Research Program of the NIH Clinical Center. The first author was also supported by the National Council for Scientific and Technological Development in Brazil. Impaired bimanual function is one of the major causes of activity limitation for individuals with cerebral palsy. Many activities of daily living require the cooperative use of both hands, either in a symmetrical way, for example, when carrying a tray, or in an asymmetrical fashion, for example, playing an instrument or opening a jar. Asymmetrical tasks are especially challenging because they require selective activation of homologous muscles. In this study, functional near-infrared spectroscopy, or FNIRS, was used to describe brain activation associated with functional bimanual tasks in unilateral CP. We also aimed to explore correlates of brain activity with performance and function. FNIRS is a non-invasive technique that uses light to measure changes in the concentrations of hemoglobin species associated with neuronal activation in the top layers of the cortex, providing a unique opportunity to study brain activity during functional tasks in populations with movement disorders who may not be able to remain sufficiently still for testing. We recruited 8 participants with unilateral CP, with a mean age of 20 years and max levels from 2 to 3. These participants had unilateral brain injuries located in areas that did not limit FNIRS measurements. And we also recruited 9 age-matched, typically developing participants with a mean age of 17 years old. We chose 4 bimanual tasks that represent different types of collaboration between the hands that are used in daily activities, and these tasks were performed in a randomized sequence. There were 2 squeezing tasks that used soft objects, and they were the bimanual symmetric squeeze, where both hands moved in synchrony, and the bimanual asymmetric squeeze, with the hands moving asynchronically. These 2 tasks were paced at 1 Hz. And there were also 2 bimanual pouring tasks where one hand stabilized a rod in a fixed position while the other arm simulated pouring using a second rod. This pouring task was performed with the dominant hand as the pouring hand and with the non-dominant hand as the pouring hand. Each task started with a 30-second rest and then was executed repetitively for 15 seconds. And this cycle of rest and task was repeated for 8 blocks with subsequent rest periods of variable duration from 20 to 30 seconds. There were visual and auditory cues to pace the participants and prompt them to start and stop. To monitor task performance and related to central mechanisms, reflective markers were attached to anatomical landmarks on the upper limbs for motion analysis, and EMG surface electrodes were positioned over the muscle bellies of the flexor carpi radialis bilaterally. We used the Tekken CWC system with 690 and 830 nanometers wavelengths emitted from source optodes at 50 Hz. A custom-made source detector arrangement was designed, including 8 sources and 16 detectors for a total of 42 channels. This probe was positioned based on anatomical landmarks using the International 1020 system covering the C3 and C4 sensory motor cortical areas. We collected task-related changes in total hemoglobin across the whole probe and in the regions of interest of C3 and C4. We calculated laterality indices, which is the ratio of total hemoglobin changes across hemispheres, and the total amplitude of activation, which is the sum of beta values in active channels. These measures were correlated with clinical and task performance measures. EMG was used for the squeeze tasks, and the variable analyzed was the correlation between FCR muscles bilaterally. For the pouring task, we calculated the total hand displacement using 3G motion capture, and additional measures for sample characterization included the GMFCS, the MAX, the hypertonia assessment tool, and the Edinburgh Handedness Inventory. Going now to the results, this figure shows the group level analysis of total hemoglobin changes for all tasks. So these are the t-statistic maps. The significantly active channels are in solid lines, so these are the ones with corrected p-value lower than 0.05. And note that red indicates increase in total hemoglobin concentrations during task relative to rest. So we found that the group with typical development had low levels of activity confined to smaller areas of the brain in both squeezing tasks, and also deactivation in the pouring tasks. The group with CP, in contrast, showed more diffuse activity and also higher levels of activation bilaterally. And this higher activation was more prominent during the squeeze tasks. We believe that this increased bilateral activation in unilateral CP during movement may be explained by the increased cognitive and motor cortical demands from the task, and also by reduced selectivity of motor patterns. When comparing the sensorimotor cortical activity across groups, we found that the group with CP had greater activation in both hemispheres, so both in C3 and C4 areas, during the bimanual asymmetric squeeze, and also in the lesioned hemisphere during the bimanual symmetric squeeze and the dominant pouring task compared to the typical group. These larger group differences in the tasks with higher coordination demands suggest an increased need for sensorimotor resources to perform complex motor tasks in CP, and this finding may be explained by the maintenance of ipsilateral projections, overlap of cortical representation of the two hands on the non-lesioned hemisphere, or altered interhemispheric inhibitory processes which impair selective hand control, and that have been previously reported in CP. When comparing the sensorimotor cortical activity across tasks, the most noticeable effect of task was found for the bimanual asymmetric squeeze, with more activation than all the other tasks in the group with CP, and this difference were not remarkable in the typical group. Also, in the pouring tasks, there was less activation than the squeezing task in both groups, perhaps because these tasks require movements and stabilization of proximal joints when compared to the squeezing tasks. Regarding the comparison across hemispheres, we found a significantly greater activation in the lesion hemisphere for all tasks in CP, and few interhemispherical differences in the typical group, which may be explained by the fact that these tasks were easy enough for this group. Taken together, these results may indicate that more effective motor control is characterized by smaller and more focal brain activation. In an exploratory analysis of brain activity and task performance measures, we found that higher levels of cortical activation correlated with more synchronous EMG activity in the bimanual asymmetric task. We can see in the EMG traces that the participants with CP show its synchrony between the hands, so the bursts are synchronous when they were supposed to be alternated. And this is similar to previous studies showing that the preferred pattern of bimanual coordination in CP is short synchrony, because interlimb coupling requires less sophisticated levels of neural control. The participants in the control group performed alternated movements as expected. These correlations between amplitude of activation with FCR EMG activity suggest that with greater brain activity, the movements tended to be less discrete. Another finding was a decreased path length in unilateral CP during the non-dominant borrowing task compared to the typical group. And the high levels of activity in these tasks may suggest efforts to compensate for these less effective movement trajectories. Another result from this exploratory analysis was that the laterality index correlated with the PDCAT daily activity domain. These positive values of laterality index indicate more activation in the non-lesion hemisphere, so those with larger activation in this side during the bimanual asymmetric task had better functional performance in the PDCAT, which includes several activities of daily living. The magnitude of activation was not correlated with the scales we tested. Perhaps additional indirect measures of hand function should be explored in the future. We acknowledge the study limitations. One limitation was sample size. The analysis of individual factors such as handedness, injury type, timing, and size were not possible, and also potential remapping after injury. Regarding Effner's analysis, we excluded two participants based on their individual structure MRI, and we acknowledge that co-registration of probe location to individual MRI is an important next step. We were not able to use scalp blood flow signals as regressors, although in supplemental material we show additional data on short separation channels, assuring the quality of the analysis. The technique also has depth limitations. It only records brain activity on the top layers of the brain, but capabilities of FNIRS are evolving rapidly, and research using this technology has increased exponentially in recent years. In conclusion, the results revealed characteristics of brain activity in CP, highlighting more diffuse and higher levels of activation in CP compared to controls in several functionally relevant tasks. FNIRS was shown to be a useful tool to assess neural correlates of motor dysfunction and to demonstrate neural mechanisms underlying intervention outcomes. While some studies have used symmetry to promote bimanual function, we suggest that the practice of asymmetric tasks may be of even greater benefit. Future studies may show how to facilitate selective activation to improve bimanual function. Thank you for watching this podcast. I invite you to read the full paper and supplemental materials at the DMCN website. And also, many thanks to our study participants and the entire team of the functional and applied biomechanics session at the NIH Clinical Center.